from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
Martin, you will not believe what I heard after we left the studio yesterday. You would not believe it.
I'll believe it.
I kid you not.
I'll believe it. I'm a believer.
I leave the studio and I listen to a radio preacher talk about how the difference between man and animal is that man has an immortal soul. I kid you not. After we've just been telling people.
You're kidding me.
Now,
that's
ridiculous. We were talking yesterday. We've been talking about what is the difference between the scriptures and the religions, four major religions. And one of the things we pointed out is that the scriptures acknowledge the literalness and the fact that man is dead.
Yeah. Ugly truth, but.
Ugly truth.
But highlights life. Highlights life.
Whereas all other scriptures say that there really is no death.
Right.
It's life in another place. And this is, and these teachers, these Christian teachers, finding themselves in absolute agreement with Muslims.
And Satan.
And Satan, that man doesn't really die. That man has an immortal soul. And I was taught this from
you. So where do the animals come into this?
This
program did what? They talked about animals?
Yeah, they say that animals and man, the only difference between man and animal is that man has an immortal soul, which is a strange doctrine. You know, the first time the word soul is used in Genesis 1:20, and it's regarding animals. Animals have souls, too.
Yeah.
They're living,
souls. That's what the Bible says.
So man's degenerate theology once again comes through in denying the scriptures. And so we got to be careful. I want to read you a passage. And we talk about this, that man is not immortal. 1 Timothy 6:16. I want to read this, and I'm going to ask those who are listening to actually believe what's being read. Believe this, okay? I know it's a stretch, but we're reading here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality. Speaking of the living God.
Doesn't Paul know that David and Moses and all those great men of God, Adam, that they had died? Where were they at this time?
They were dead. Dead. And Paul is dead today, stone cold dead. Only God has immortality.
Christ.
And God gave Christ to have life in himself that he may give life. He is the resurrection life. But yet man keeps perpetuating. We keep going back to Genesis 3. Satan said, to die you shall not be dying.
We need to keep going back there.
And Genesis 3 is the source of this wicked teaching. And this satanic teaching is really a self-exaltation of man. The whole teaching of immortality of the soul is the exaltation of man. And this is what's going to happen in the coming great tribulation that's coming on this earth. This worship of this, it's a self-exalting worship.
Do you remember I was telling you that...
it's the lie.
Yeah, you remember up until the time there's no more death at all when God abolishes death?
Yeah, right.
We can distinguish between those who have death and those who don't. I mean, those who are dead and those who are alive. As you just pointed out, this gives some people an advantage because obviously if there's immortal life and if there's the immortality of the soul, then you either go on to a good place or a bad place. And so once again, that causes the human to have to work for those places. Where am I? Even in the Catholic religion, we had to work to get out of purgatory. We had to pray people out of purgatory. If you're going to make that distinction that some are alive, but they're in a good place, others are alive, but they're in a bad place, then you just bring into that whole scenario human works, human accomplishments, a distinction between those who are good and those who are bad, and it encourages that and incites it.
Can we look at a couple passages? Let's go to the scriptures on this. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 42. Let's start there. I'd like to go through some of these if you don't mind. For those of you listening, this might be a little tedious, but we're going to go through line by line a couple verses here because it's important that we get the right information because Satan is active in this sphere. He cannot stand this teaching we're about to talk to you about. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42, thus also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It's referring to our bodies. Our bodies are sown in corruption. It is roused in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is roused in glory. It is sown in infirmity. It is roused in power. It is sown a soulish body. It is roused a spiritual body. If there is a soulish body, there is a spiritual also. Thus it is written also, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. Did you hear that? Adam was a living soul. The last Adam, a vivifying spirit. But not first the spiritual, but the soulish. Thereupon the spiritual. But notice this, it says about Adam, he wasn't spiritual. He was soulish. Do you ever hear people say that Adam died a spiritual death in the Garden of Eden?
Oh, yeah, because...
How can Adam die a spiritual death if he wasn't spiritual?
Yeah, there's no... The spirit and death are antithetical
exactly.
concepts.
So the first man was out of the earth, soilish. The second man is the Lord out of heaven. Such as the soilish one is, such are those also who are soilish. And such as the celestial one, such are those also who are celestials. And according as we wear the image of the soilish, we do that right now, we should be wearing the image of the also of the celestial, referring to Christ. Now here is the key. Now this I am averring, brethren, that flesh and blood is not able to enjoy the allotment of the kingdom of God, neither is corruption enjoying the allotment of incorruption. Lo, a secret I am telling you. We all indeed shall not be put to repose, yet we shall all be changed in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For he will be trumpeting, and the dead will be roused incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, referring to our corruptible bodies, must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. I want to stop there. I know we read a lot of verses here. I thought it was important just to read them. But notice it says, we're mortal. This mortal. We're mortal beings. We're not immortal. We must put on immortality. How are we going to do that? How do we put on immortality? I'm asking you.
I don't think there's any instruction books on that.
Well, here's how we just read how it happens. In a moment, in a twinkling of eye, at the last trump.
Oh, so there is an instruction book
in
on it.
In resurrection, we will put on immortality. Man is mortal. He's going to die. There's nothing in these verses about an afterlife.
Yeah, man can't do it. That's what I meant by there's no instruction book on that. You can't do it apart from an outside force acting upon you.
Exactly. Now, verse 54, now whenever this corruptible should be putting on incorruption, and this mortal should be putting on immortality, then, notice, whenever... Then shall come to pass the word which is written, swallowed up was death into victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? When will sin be death be swallowed up? By life.
Yeah.
In resurrection. And here's your verse. Now the sting of death is what? Sin. Yet the power of sin is the law. Now thanks be to God who is giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we were just reading, part of the reason we read 1 Corinthians 15 is we wanted to show that only God has immortality and that the living saints will be changed from mortal to immortal, and those who are reposing will put on incorruption in the resurrection at His coming.
Not until then.
All other writings, all these religions deny this great truth by teaching the natural or inherent immortality of the soul, like I told you that I heard on the radio. And while the body dies, they say, the soul is translated into a larger, fuller life. And this sounds like the hiss of the serpent.
They say the same thing about our Lord Jesus Christ. As you're reading these passages, starting with verse 42 of 1 Corinthians 15, I'm struck by the contrasts. He puts up corruption against incorruption. He puts dishonor against glory. He puts infirmity against power. He puts a soulish body against a spiritual body. And he says, if there's a soulish body, there's a spiritual also. and Adam became a living soul, but Christ is a vivifying spirit. These verses mean nothing unless we recognize the wild difference between corruption and incorruption, between dishonor and glory, between infirmity and power, and between mortality and immortality. The doctrine of the consciousness of the soul, the immortality of the soul, those, it's gray. There's no contrast.
Yeah.
Because life is life, and death is also life.
Yes.
And so there's no stunning, fantastic going from death to life if you're already alive.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? What's the big deal?
I remember when the messenger, when they came to the tomb after the resurrection, they said, "Behold, he's not here. He's risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Oh, so what? He was alive anyways.
Yeah, he was alive anyway. And you notice how excited people get when Jesus is raising people from the dead?
Yeah.
Lazarus comes out of the tomb. Eh, what's the big deal? He's been alive for 3 days.
He never really died. He just went to another place.
Yeah, he just went to another place. He just kind of just came back into his body.
Again, satanic doctrine. This is satanic. Goes back to Genesis 3. And I know this has been hard stuff this week because we're going against the grain. But I don't care. This is God's truth versus the lie of the adversary.
And the reason we're doing this is because this is a critical element of the evangel, the gospel of Paul, is the death and resurrection of Christ. Another reason we're doing it, you see, you can say, well, these guys, Sheridan and Zinder, they're just on the radio talking doctrine. And we've heard radio programs, they just talk doctrine because, you know, we want to sound smart. No, this has to do with the glory of God. It has to do with the resurrection of Christ. You can't raise a Savior who's not dead. We can't be made immortal unless we're mortal. It waters down everything we're looking forward to.
And it destroys the hope or the expectation of the believer.
Yeah,
because
that's right.
Nowhere in the Scriptures do they long for death. Paul didn't want to die. He was looking for the resurrection. Paul was looking for Christ. A believer's hope, our expectation today, is looking for a Savior. We're looking to see him. We're not looking for death.
No.
We're looking for Christ.
And really, there's a reason God implanted the ability to mourn. What do we do when somebody dies? We mourn. And yet I hear people try to talk you out of that. It's like, well, they went to a better place, so why are you crying? Well, gee, I'm crying because my body is smarter than my theology if I'm in the Christian religion.
Yeah.
My theology tells me death's a great thing, they're with God. But my body tells me this sucks, and I'm crying my eyes out for this person. And your body is right, because death takes people from God. It takes people from those who are alive, takes them from their loved ones. It's an enemy, folks. Paul calls it an enemy.
1 Thessalonians 4, Paul says, "We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are reposing, lest you may sorrow according as the rest also have no expectation. For if we are believing that Jesus died and rose, thus also those who are put to repose will God through Jesus lead forth together with him. For this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we, the living who are surviving to the presence of the Lord, should by no means outstrip those who are put to repose. For the Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout, command,
fantastic,
with the voice,
that's
of the
fantastic,
chief messenger, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall be rising first. Thereupon we, the living who are surviving, shall at the same time," not at a different time, "at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we be always together with the Lord." How? Through resurrection, not death.
Yes.
We're going to be with the Lord in resurrection.
Yes.
Paul doesn't say, "Don't worry about it, they're already in heaven." No, he says they're reposing, and they're going to meet the Lord in the air. That's our expectation.
And death is the prerequisite for the kind of resurrection we're talking about.
This is Dan Sheridan, paulsevangel.com, and that was Martin Zender at martinzender.com. We'll see you tomorrow.